Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Let the grace of the Lord be on you to pull and to receive all that Jesus has for you. Some people don't understand that all that Jesus purchased is free for the taking. And we've been too shy, sometimes too religious, to reach out and take. But God is desiring a people who will boldly receive what Jesus died for us to have and pass it out to other people and walk in it until it is normal. Jesus desires a people that have the guts to believe the word of God. That when it says he died for us to have something, he really meant that. Where does it say that it's for some and not others? Or where does it say we're to measure ourselves and determine? We judge ourselves. We measure ourselves and determine, oh, I'm not fit to receive that. That is a lie and a trap of the enemy, and to me, kind of an obvious one. It isn't about you. It isn't about me. It is about his righteousness. God doesn't use us to help people or heal people because of our righteousness. He uses us because of his righteousness. And his righteousness does not vary from day to day. It is 100% righteous all the time. And see, if you begin to focus on his righteousness, you know, we are very self-centered, thinking it's holy. Diminishing ourselves. You know, the old holy thing, well, I'm just not good enough. Well, you never were. Big news, I wasn't either. That's why he had to die. That's why he had to shed blood to purchase for us something we could never have. So great a salvation. So great a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So great an infilling, so great a position in heaven. And I don't mean when you die, it says you're complete in him. You have a seat in heaven. Where's your chair? Are you in your chair? Most people, most of the time, no. Some people never. Some people think that's when they die. No, he wants you in your chair. Become familiar with what the Bible says about you, really, and stop eating the trash that the enemy dishes out. God has food for you, but he's gentle and kind, so he doesn't force feed you. But the enemy will put his knee on your throat and cram trash down your throat, which is a bunch of lies, because he's terrified you might actually get it. But Jesus wants a people who say, enough is enough. I am done eating the lies of the devil. I'm done looking in the mirror that the devil has, which shows me my outward man. Listen, your outward man, if you were water baptized, that was a symbol of your death. The old you died. Reckon the old man dead. Consider him dead. Stop judging yourself based on the old man. Your old man stinks and so does mine. That's called your flesh, your soulish realm. And if you can get a hold of who you have been made, who you really are in the Spirit, you'll never operate the same way again. You'll never operate the same way again. Jesus is trying to get his people to believe what he actually did and said. He's trying to get a people who will look past all this earth nonsense, all the things the enemy told you, all the labels you had when you were growing up, all of what people said about you, all of what you said about yourself. Some of you spoke terrible things about yourself in a moment. You know, you had a moment and you said some things. Did you come in league with the enemy unwittingly? I've done it, you know. Have a moment where you blurt something out in a moment of frustration that the enemy's trying to get you to come in agreement with a lie. I'm not even going to quote one of them because you know what I'm talking about. And the enemy's trying to get you to come in alignment with him. And a lot of people in this room, you're walking through life with frustration because too much you've come in agreement with lies and you don't realize they're lies. You think it is true. You know, in the olden days, they taught holiness as you were just supposed to be poor for his glory, and poor and weak and pathetic, and you know, you weren't worthy to do anything. Well, in the flesh, that was true, but he died to redeem you from that. That's the old man. And he didn't just forgive you. He recreated you a spirit being made in the image of God. So which one will you live out of? And the only way to do it is to come to understand what the word really says about you. You've been equipped with every single thing you will ever need in God. Have been, past tense, equipped. You have been, past tense, equipped with everything you'll ever need. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. Are you walking in it? Maybe not. It takes a while to renew our thinking to a place where we can say, I'll do that, I'll take that. You know, I proclaim that I will do things that I know in my flesh I have no ability to do. You say, well, that's kind of brassy. No, that's faith. That's having the boldness to believe God meant what he said. Have you ever read a scripture and thought, boy, that's pretty, you know, how about this one? Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Really? Have you ever questioned, does it really mean me, or did he really mean that? Yeah, he meant it, or he wouldn't have written it. What's he trying to do? He's trying to jerk our attention upward. He's trying to get us to see the facts as they are in heaven. For too long, we have lived like this is the truth. This is not the truth. This is a fallen, broken system. Satan's kingdom is a pack of lies, right? And God is trying to infiltrate it and override it with the truth from heaven. But he has chosen to only do it through his believers. Isn't that interesting? He could have said, I'm sovereign, I'm just gonna wad the thing all up, I'm gonna start all over, and I'm gonna make it holy. He could have done that, but he chose to use people, his own children. And he is hoping, every day hoping against hope, hoping that somebody in the body will say, I think he means me. I think he really means for me to be used of God. I think he really means for me to carry the presence. I think he really means for me to go tell somebody. I think he really means for me to walk in power. I think he really means for me to have a big company that I can bless the gospel message with. Come on. Is that you? Were you ordained to do something and you're so busy believing the lies of the enemy and beating yourself up with that old lie of fake holiness? People listen for so many years. One of the tricks of the enemy was to infiltrate the church. Thank God a lot of this has gone, but some of it still hangs around. But it was to infiltrate the church with a false holiness message, which was about your outward behavior, your outward appearance, your outward manifestation. That's all fake, right? Kneel this way, cross yourself that way, spit twice, twirl around, whatever. You know... I visited a church with somebody and they, you know, kneel down, stand up, you know, and I started to joke around, you know, lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down. You know, that's what it felt like. Fight, fight, fight. It was a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And this fake holiness message was in the church for hundreds of years. Remember, in the olden days, people would lay on a bed of nails as though somehow they thought that was self-sacrifice. No, that's false. That's a false type of holiness. But I see charismatics, I see Pentecostals, I see spirit-filled people doing similar things, beating themselves up in the spirit. Listen, if you're still beating yourself up with your words, then you haven't understood the gospel. You haven't. And you haven't understood how it grieves him when you speak evil of yourself. And when you speak evil of someone in the body, I don't care how creepy they act. There's people in the body that act creepy. There is. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to learn to look at them and say, is it possible? Because if they have a born-again spirit in there somewhere, We need to help dig that out. We need to help them find their way and shake off the junk, because some of the best of us came from being the worst of us. Paul wasn't kidding when he said he was a chief of sinners. He really was. He didn't make that up. He wasn't being, you know, he wasn't being a false humility. It wasn't false humility. He knew he was a chief of sinners. He really was. He was a bad guy. He really was. And God took that guy and transformed him into the man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he was so, I don't even know if we've really understood Paul. The more I read of his works, the more I see this guy cared about nothing but Jesus Christ and the church. He carried a burden daily for the church so much that he was willing to die for it, get beat up for it, go to jail for it. He didn't care about that. And not once, but again and again and again. What happened on the inside of him to make him so fervent for Jesus Christ and his church that he didn't care what happened to himself? You know what he said? All seek their own. He was talking to some people. He said, I'm going to send Timothy. He said, I don't have anybody else like him who will naturally care for your state. And that's the condition of the church. All seek their own. The church I'm talking about. Even in our praying, and I'm guilty too, but I'm being transformed. And I'm working on this, and I'm praying into this. We have to be converted. I'm talking about us who are born again and spirit-filled and praying and dancing and woo-hooing. I'm talking about people who look sold out. We have to stop being so self-centered and having all our prayers and all our stuff be about me. And we have to become like Paul in that we would pay any price for Jesus Christ and his church. Pay any price for Jesus Christ and those that are lost to come into the church. Pay any price. Say, I don't like this preaching. It's good stuff. And I'm not telling you anything Paul didn't already tell you. You know, this is just such a fleeting moment, this life on earth. Your life, the Bible says, is like a vapor. It's like a vapor. You know, it's like, the Bible says it's like grass that just fades away. In the big scheme of eternity, this life we have is very, very fleeting, very short. And how we would regret it in heaven if the big deal of the day was whether we got married or not, or whether we had a career or not, or whether we made a lot of money or not. That's all good. God will give you all that stuff. He's not against that. But if that's your focus, you're missing it. If you're, give me the drink. If your focus is earthly, you're missing the point. And the day will come when we'll be in heaven and we'll look back and say, I wish I could have done more for Jesus. I wish I would have sold out more. You know how many people have heard of Pacific Garden Mission? Anybody heard of it? I don't know if you know this. The way it started was, I think like 130 years ago about, a woman was decorating her house and making it all pretty. And God spoke to her and he said, what are you doing to decorate my kingdom? And it convicted her in her heart that her life had been all about her home and, you know, the stuff people think about. And she changed her life. And she began to work on the formation of that. I'm sure there was a lot of people involved, but I have a friend, a personal friend. She's a pastor's wife. And they have a church and it was going well, but she said her life was, how did the carpet look? How did the overhead stuff look? How did the music flow? And one day she was struck with a terrible type of cancer. And they told her, you know, it's over. You know, this is it. This one, you're not going to get out of this one. And she said to the Lord, if you will heal me, I will devote my life to what is the most important thing to you. And she didn't even know for sure what the most important thing was, but she said, I'll devote my life. Well, he healed her. And he began to speak to her over and over and over and over and over about becoming a missionary to the poorest of the poor and going to Africa and India. Now, this is tricky because she's a pastor's wife, right? But her husband is a real man of God, and he said, you go and we'll help you. You go and we'll help you. She goes all over the world into some tough situations, doing what's most important to the Lord. She's gone places where it's bug infested. The heat is so oppressive. Some of the places I've gone in the world are heat like I never imagined. I mean, places sweat that you didn't think could sweat. You know, like here, like, does that sweat? You know, you go to the Philippines, it'll sweat. Even China. I was in Beijing. I never knew that the heat in Beijing could get so blazing hot, but it can. I have a friend that's a missionary in Ouagadougou. Yeah, Burkina Faso. And actually, he's not in the town. He's out in the kind of desert. He has one light bulb that is operated at night by a battery on solar. That's their only electricity. And he sits in this, he gets up to 125, and he's there to translate the Bible for a tribe that have never heard the word of God. And people here are complaining because their, you know, tires are getting bald. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. God will get you new tires. My point is, we need to shake off some of this stuff. You know what the Bible says? Don't love the world or the things in this world. To be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Enemy. Yipes. Yipes. Now, God cares for you, and here's the funny thing. If you get this right, God will go out of his way to bless you. If you get this right, you get your priorities right, and you make him the king truly first, then God can bless you because that now won't be an idol to you. You understand? If somebody has money as an idol and they're scratching and clawing to try to make more money, you know, they won't make a lot of money because God won't have any other gods before him. But if you're one of those people that says, I don't care about that, but if you bless me with it, I'll use it for the kingdom. And you keep that commitment, I mean, in your heart, you keep that commitment and you behave in such a way, you'll never have a problem with money because God knows he can trust you with it because it's not an idol. Right? It seems backwards. But God is looking for a people who are sold out, who've lost interest. I personally have lost interest in this earth except to do my job. And that's the truth. If it wasn't for that, I would ask God politely, would you please push the button and bring me home? Because heaven, I've seen enough to know heaven is better than earth. By a long shot. But I want to finish my job. So I've asked him repeatedly, let me do what I was put here to do. I want to do every last thing, and then I want to come home. And if it's, he said, night comes when no man can work. Work while it's the day. Work while it's the day. Night comes, and I'm telling you, I think it's coming pretty fast. And what I've said is, if it gets night where I can't work anymore and I really can't, take me out. I'm done. I don't want to hang around. Don't let me hang around. P.U. That won't be fun. So God is almost, I almost want to say, looking for a new breed of people who get who they really are, understand what heaven really is, get what the point is of the whole thing, because we've missed the point, we've lost the point in all the teachings. We have more teaching on the face of the earth than we've ever had. We have more teachers, more ministers, and some are great, and some are not. But we have people that can't filter the difference. They don't have enough discernment to know who's who. So they have this mixed bag of doctrines. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying. And people who don't know what corner of the kingdom they belong in. So they're trying to run from corner to corner and conference to conference, trying to, you know, feel fulfilled. It's not working. What we need to do is stop, step back and begin to spend some quality time with your Father. Really spend some quality time with him and stay centered in him, because in that place, heaven opens. In that place, there comes an opening where we understand the heart of God. Maybe not all of it. None of us, I think, know or could ever say we know. You know, God is so infinite, so vast, so holy, and so amazing. But the more we sit in him, the more his heart is revealed. And if we continue to sit in him, then that heart is revealed to our heart. And our heart begins to change, right? Doesn't happen overnight, but our heart begins to want what he wants because we love him. And we begin to desire what he desires. It might not have been something we cared about before, but because it would make him happy, then we would say, a penny price for that. Do you ever love somebody so much that you just wanted to give them something that would really make them happy? Not to get anything from it, not for any other reason, but you just love them so much. That's true worship. When you begin to look at God and say, what could I do that would really make you happy? What life could I lead? Or what is there some work I could do? Or is there some gift I could give? Is there something that would make your day? And you don't say it in front of other people. You have these conversations with God, because when you start to live a life that's pleasing to God, here's something I found out about God. When you do that for him, he starts to show up at your house and say, is there anything I could do for you? For 2 years, every night for at least 2 years, when I would go to sit down on the bed at night, he'd say, is there anything I can do for you? 2 years. And I thought, why is God saying that to me? Because I was saying it to him. Whatsoever man sows, so will he also reap. And God is looking for people. He's looking for people with a kingdom heart, with a heart to worship the Father, not just with words. Words are great, dance is great, banners are awesome, that's all good. But it's with your life that you worship him. It's with your life that you become a living sacrifice. It's with your life, all your goods, all your stuff. David understood. See, we've lost what worship really is. We've lost it. David knew. He said things like this: I would not give a gift to God that didn't cost me. I wouldn't give a gift to God that didn't cost. He understood, if it doesn't cost me, then it's not worth enough. Isn't that something? When I started to look at that, I said, I'm not giving God the right way. I went to him and I said, I want you to tell me something I could do for you that'll really cost me, but it'll really make you happy. You know, because I want to please the king. Don't you want that testimony, that he pleased the king or she pleased the king? That's the testimony you want. Not she had a great house. You know, her outfit really matched. Boy, he made a lot of money. He was so smart, he started a bunch of companies. Well, did God do it through you? Because if God didn't do it through you, it's wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn. You'll be saved, but so as by fire. Let every man take heed. There's a foundation, right? Let every man take heed how he build thereon, whether it's gold, silver, and precious gems, or wood, hay, and stubble. Now, the man will still be saved, it says, but so as by fire, because all of it will pass through the fire. When we go from here to there, ay, ay, ay. And stuff we built that was built by the flesh or our great ideal, right? The stuff we did for God that we thought was so great that he was like, that's great, but I didn't want that. Gonna burn. Or people who were even called, but they went about it as a work of the flesh, figuring it out and creating great programs. P.U. It's gonna burn. Well, what are the gems then? I believe the gems are when we go to say God and say, show me what to do. And he shows us what to do. You say, okay, now, how will you do this through me? How do you want me to step each day that I'm in the Spirit and I'm doing what you say? And how do I stay centered in that and not get ahead of you, not fall behind you? Because when you do it through me, it is gold and silver and precious gems. And that won't burn. In fact, it will glow in the fire. See, whether you know it or not, you are building an eternal building. Your life is like a building. And when you dig deep, see, most people just wander through life and they pray reactively and hope they get through, and trouble comes and they pray for help, and trouble comes and they pray for help. That's not wrong. We all got saved that way. That's how we got saved. Me too. But sooner or later, we should take a real good look at what are we building in the Spirit. Because what you build here will last eternity in heaven. If it's not wood, hay, and stubble. What you build, what God builds in your life, will last for eternity. It may end up to be the house you live in. Not sure about that, but suspicious about it. Many, many years ago, God started talking to me about my prayer life. And he started saying, I want you to dig really deep. Because if you're going to build something worth building, I need to lay a really solid foundation. A solid foundation of the Word of God and truth and the grace of God. And understanding that you can't even do it right, but I can do it through you. That's really the foundation. And then we, you and I, you got to come to understand we, the word we. When we go to the store, and I'm not talking about Lori's in the car. I'm talking about I'm alone in the car, visibly, but we are going to the store. You have to come to understand that you're one with him. You have to come to understand the fellowship of the King. And when you come to understand that, and in him we live and move and have our being, does it mean you're going to be perfect? No, you'll still have little stumbles and bumbles. You know, it happens, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't be condemned when you're in him. You know the honest truth? If you're in God and you're in his presence and you're doing stuff together and you stumble and you say the wrong thing or you have a crabby moment or whatever, do you know what happens? There's no condemnation. You end up laughing together and saying, whoops, I didn't mean to say that. Because he's forgiven your sin nature. Listen, yes, he forgave your sins, but he's also forgiven the sin nature. When you were baptized, if you understood at all what you were doing, you were saying, this old me and this nature, this stinky, rotten, sinful nature and all its stuff is going under as Jesus went under the earth. And the person coming up and out is the born again, created in the image of his holiness, image of Jesus Christ. Now, I still have a body and it's still got some problems, but a lot of people never shifted their identity from the old stinky one to the brand new one. And because of it, they're still living out of that state and going through here's the cycle. Here's what happens. Have a problem, sin, or blow it in some way, condemn yourself, go to God, oh, forgive me, I didn't mean to do that. He forgives you. Start the cycle over. You know, if I'm a programmer, says, hey, go to step one. Go to step one. You know, sin. Oh, God, forgive me. I feel condemned. He forgives you. Go to step one. I'm telling you, God wants you to be so renewed in your understanding that, listen, all that stuff is a distraction from the true holiness of God, which is heaven and its relationship working out through your mortal body. The true holiness is an outworking of the relationship you have with your Father. That's the real holiness. It's God working through you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Will you still make mistakes? Sure, sometimes. But you'll get better and better and better and better at walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and fellowshipping with the King. Some of you need to see your chair in heaven. Some of you need to see your position, your niche, your place. You know, if there's people trying to, we're the temple, right? We're being built up into the temple of God. You're a living stone. But, you know, we're not like bricks that are all perfectly shaped. We're all, you know, in the Spirit, we all look different. And there's an exact spot where your stone fits. And the reason the temple has been such a mess in the earth realm is because we got people trying to do stuff and it's not their spot. And so people are gouging you, and you're like, ow, ow, and you're poking them back because you're in the wrong spot. Because you're trying to do what you saw Joe Blow do, or, you know, and you say, well, that must be how you do it. No, that might be how he was supposed to do it. But I assure you, your job will be completely unique to you. There's only one spot for your stone. Go find your spot. And God told me once, he said, if you keep bumping your head, you're in the wrong part of the temple. You know, because I had these ideas of what I thought, you know, he was giving me visions and dreams and telling me what I was called to do. And all I had as a frame of reference was how people were currently doing it in the earth. It didn't look like any of that. Because your fingerprint in the spirit is completely different than anybody else's. There is no one you can copy. Now, there's people you can learn from, of course. There's people that can help you stabilize and grow. But you're not them. And you don't want to be them. And people, you look around at the true ministers of God that are really carrying the power of the Spirit, and you'll notice there's nobody like them. Look at each one. There's nobody like that person. I'd name names. There's nobody like that one. There's nobody like that one. There's nobody like that one, because they found their spot, and they pressed in and built their building, and they're still working on it, until it came to be a building that God could fill. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the house of God. You are the house of God. And the church used that to say, you know, don't drink Coke, you're the house of God. Don't smoke cigarettes, you're the house of God. Well, that's just such a poor limitation. The house of God is the house of the very presence and glory of the King. You don't get the glory, it's all His. In fact, you won't even be able to carry it decently until you have a full and complete revelation that you didn't do anything right. And it's all Him. And they'll always give all the glory forever and ever to Him and Him alone. He's the only one. But when you really get that in your heart, in your, can I say, in your guts, when you really get that, God says, I do believe I could use that person. I believe I could use them because they're not one that will take the credit, you see? It seems like things are a little backwards in heaven. If you want to become high, you become low. If you want to go higher, get lower. I actually saw doors in heaven, and as I would progress, they would get lower and lower and lower. There's some places you're not going to be able to go until you deal with some heart stuff. And it's not because God doesn't want you to have it. He does. Truly, He does. He wants all His kids to have everything. But He knows that it'd be like giving the keys of the car to a four-year-old when, you know, if they haven't dealt with some heart issues, right? And it's out of love that He says, not yet, I don't think so. Still watching, and He's watching. We think, why doesn't God do it? Well, you know, the minute you're ready, God will do it. The minute you're ready. You know, I heard a great man say, who's just an amazing man of God, used of God greatly. He said, God wants to use you more than you want to be used. And if you're not, if God's not using you, there's a reason. I remember going, oh, ow. And knowing that's true. Right? Because we need to give God a decent house to work with that won't take the credit. See, God is desiring to manifest Himself into the earth through the church as a whole, through the remnant as a whole, and through individuals as well. It is His fervent desire. He desires it more than we do. So if you're pressing into that, you know, my advice would be don't press into that. Press into talking to God about saying, what are you trying to deal with? What are you trying to deal with in me? What's going on with my heart, Lord? It's shocking. When He starts to show you, it's like, ooh, you know? That's not pretty. But it's because He loves us. And it's because He wants us to carry His power and carry His presence. And it's not for our sake, so we can feel all good when I'm being used. That has nothing to do with anything. It's because He fervently cares about people. He cares about His kingdom. He cares about the lost. God weeps. If you've ever had a long prayer siege with God, you'll often find yourself weeping, but they're not your tears. They're his tears. Because there's things that he desires so fervently. And sometimes he'll say things like, doesn't anyone care? Doesn't anyone care about the kingdom? Doesn't anyone care about the lost? Doesn't anyone care about what's in my heart? What my desires are? All seek their own. I mean, that's sometimes he longs for somebody to be his confidant. Sometimes he longs for somebody to crawl up in his lap and say, what's going on with you, God? How do you feel about that situation over there? How do you feel about this? What do you think? Because, you know, a lot of times what we think, listen, I'm just going to say it. There's people in here, you turn the channel and you see some terrible things on the news and you assume what God thinks about it. And sometimes God has said to me, that's not what I think about that. You know, I'm not going to go there, but I'm just going to tell you, there's some things that we have assumed on God, how he feels. And sometimes he's doing something completely above that and looking for someone that will hear him and speak what he's trying to speak, right? So that's why I'm a big fan of listening prayer. I'm a big fan of going before the Father and saying, how was your day? How are you feeling about this? And what can I do for you? Could I wash your feet? Could I do something for you? And sometimes he'll have you do something that seems so insignificant, but he likes it. Sometimes he'll have you go help somebody that's just stuck or can't feed themselves or, you know, is just really screwed up. And sometimes there are people that aren't likable at all. You don't like them, and you don't want to go by them, you don't want to be by them, and they stink and everything else. But he loves them. And sometimes what would make his day is for somebody to care enough to just go do it. You know? Because if you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So God is trying to get us to see things from a more heavenly perspective and have the courage to begin to believe that what he... Listen... As it is on earth as it is in heaven. He told us to pray that because he wants that. He wants the atmosphere of heaven, the works of heaven, the manifestations of heaven, the presence of heaven, the throne room experience. He wants that happening on the earth, but he has limited it that it can only happen through born again, blood washed believers. So now he's looking, you know, his eye is roving over the whole earth, day and night, looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his so that he may show himself strong in them. And I'm like, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. And if I have to convert my heart, if I have to pray into my heart being changed, man, I'll do it. Because I want to be the one that's pleasing to the Father. I want to be pleasing to the Father. I want to be the one. And all of us can be. What if we were to become heavenly minded? What if we were to trade in all the earth stuff for a heavenly mindset and begin to understand the way things work in heaven? What if we were to throw away all our unbelief and all our self-doubt and all that junk, guilt and condemnation, throw it all out and say, I'm here, God, I'm standing here. I don't know too much, I don't have too many natural abilities, but I'm here, and I'm here to bring heaven to earth, show me what to do. And what if the remnant, or even what if a few, begin to be diligent about bringing heaven to earth? Well, these are the ones that turned the world upside down. A few people turned the world upside down, raised a ruckus wherever they went. The leaders didn't know what to do with them. And they had some guts, right? And when they got beaten, they didn't go cry. Wah, 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 they don't like us, boo-hoo. No, they said, pray that we'll have boldness, that we'll be able to speak even more. Pray for us to have boldness, that we'll be even more able to offend them with the holiness of God, right? God's looking for a people I'll be honest, I think he's looking for you and he's looking for me. And I'm telling you, there is no reward so great as being a sold out person that makes yourself less so that he could be more. There's no greater reward, you know, because it might not sound like fun, but I assure you it is. It is like walking in the blessing all the time. Is it always easy? No, sometimes you do get a little beat up. Sometimes you do have problems. But the blessings that come with it are unspeakable. Unspeakable, the peace that you walk in every day. Every day. You get to walk in peace every day. You get to have joy without reason. Joy without reason. All the time. Does it mean the enemy forgets your address? Not necessarily, but he can't take you out. He can't get to you, and he knows it. He cannot touch what God has done in you when God has done this in you. Now, I know I've shared this before, but I feel like God is prompting me to share it. Many times we would be in a service, and God would give me a word of knowledge or a, you know, call out a healing or something, or release someone in their calling. And one day, I had a vision. And it was a picture of me, and I was in one of the rooms of heaven. And God called it my area. Okay, that's going to sound strange if you're not used to heaven, but it was like a room, but it was like my room. And I wasn't allowed to see the whole room, but what I saw was a wall of books. I saw that I was kneeling on the floor, and there was this big hole in the floor. Now remember, we're in heaven. There was an angel standing behind me, so I'm kneeling, he's standing, and he would hand me something, and I'd push it through the hole to somebody. I'd be giving, so here's a word of knowledge. Here's a word of knowledge. Oh, you're healed of your knee. Your toe is healed. You're healed of cancer of the esophagus. Whatever it was. What was happening? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's people who operate in faith, and that's awesome, but this is different. This is releasing something from heaven to earth. And what we saw was lots of healings, lots of people released into calling, something I don't have the ability to do in my flesh, but this is my job in the spirit. Okay? Now, for a long time, I never shared this. I thought people would think it was too weird. But God began to show me that there's chairs in heaven, there's rooms in heaven, there's books in heaven, I believe for every saint, every blood-washed child of the King. And in that place, you'll find who you really are and what your job is. It'll be different than mine. We're all different. For a long time, I wasn't sure about the books. But they're books of the things that were written about you. And as you pray and as you commune with God, those books open, right? And things about you are revealed. Or they just begin to come to pass. Sometimes, you know, the older I get, suddenly I would start to have a new anointing and I'd be like, oh, we're doing this now. Had no idea, never saw it coming. Didn't know I had the grace of God on me for that. But what happened? Well, another book must open, right? Because if you're praying a lot, you're releasing the things of heaven into your life. Okay? So if you want more, I'm going to have you say, Lord, I want more.
Lord, I want more.
I want to release heaven into earth.
I want to trade in the
earth
stuff for the heaven stuff.
Teach me how to walk in the glory.
Teach me how to truly worship.
How to live a life for Jesus Christ
with a kingdom mentality
that's Jesus first
and then his kingdom
and then me.
Teach me how.
Help me convert my heart
because I want to serve you all the days of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.